Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the C. Coley podcast. I'm Zari, and I'm here with my co-host, Brittany, and we're so excited to have you guys tuned in for yet another episode. Today, we're so excited to be diving into the book of Jonah. And before we get into all of that, I'm just going to do a little check-in with my co-host here. Britt, how are you doing?
It's been a long week, but I've been really good. I have some friends in town. Actually, a mutual friend of ours is in town with her family. And it's been so nice to be able to spend time with them. And so between work and trying to spend as much time with the people that I really care about and love, I am already starting to feel drained. And so I'm like, oh, God, help me. Give me the strength. Give me the strength for all the things because I want to maximize this time as much as possible. And so, but it's still summer here in Texas. So I know it's supposed to be giving fall vibes across the country, but we here in Texas are still in our summer era. Okay. Summer era.
I want to still be in my summer era. I'm like, dang, I need to make sure I get out by the pool or something before it gets too cold.
Come to Texas, sis.
I am. In a few weeks, I'll be there. Woo! Hopefully it'll be still hot. Okay, girl, that's great. For me, I've been teaching my heart out over here. So for those of you guys who don't know, I just started coaching. And it is so fun, but I'm coaching 11 classes this week. So I'm trying to preserve this voice. Hopefully y'all can't tell a difference, but I'm meeting cool people. And it's just been really fun to use this gift of like encouraging others and helping them reach their best selves. I'm still learning boundaries and how to say yes and no to things, but it has been a good week. I can't complain. We're here. We did the run club this week. We're doing all the things. So yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking and thanks for checking in. And with that, would you mind opening us up in prayer before we hop in and talk about Jonah?
Yes. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to dive into your word, dive into Jonah, Lord. We're just so grateful that we can read the pages of scripture. And even though it happened years, decades, centuries before our times, Lord, that is still relevant and it still teaches us something today, Lord, that your word is alive and it's active and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we are excited and expectant to learn, to grow, to be encouraged by your word today. And so open our eyes to be able to see your word in a new light. If this is a book that we have been become familiar with, and open our hearts to receive what you want to teach us through this book. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Britt. So just a little bit of background. Jonah is like kind of a popular book in the Bible. I think a lot of times if you grew up in the church, you've heard about Jonah and the whale, although technically it's not a whale. Fish. That's what I've been told. I'm like some kind of big, really big fish. What kind of fish? I don't know, but not a whale. And we've heard about him in this whale scenario. He's tossed overseas. But what is happening here is that Jonah is a prophet. He's been given a word by God to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach against it. And instead of going to the city of Nineveh, Jonah goes the complete opposite direction and goes to Tarshish and decides, hey, I'm not listening to what God told me to do. I'm just going to go do this thing. And while he is on this boat, the sailors who worship pagan gods, they're freaking out because there's this massive storm that's rising up against them. Jonah is asleep at the bottom of the boat. He is not concerned about this storm. He's not bothered. The men come to him. The sailors come and they say, like, go pray to your God. Come on. Like, we need this to stop. And he tells them that my God is the one who controls the sea and the waves and all this. And they're just like, oh my gosh, they're in awe. And so he says, like, you know, just throw me off and then the storm will calm. And they're like, we're not about to upset your God. Right. And so they try to think of all the ways to not kill Jonah because they don't want to upset God. And then they finally come to the conclusion that these waves are too strong. We're going to die if he stays on this boat. So they throw him overboard. Okay. So that is where we are here in Jonah 1. They throw him overboard. Uh-huh. And then it says in verse 17, but the Lord provided a fish, a great fish, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I really love in the book of Jonah, there's moments where it keeps saying how God provided something. And a lot of times you may think, or you may hear the story like, okay, he's eaten by a fish. Okay, that wasn't good provision. But think about it, like the provision of the fish was what kept Jonah safe and alive. And I think about how that is just, that's so significant. What we would probably take as like, this is the worst case scenario, I've been eaten, is the same thing that keeps him protected and covered. Another thing I noticed too here that I really love in the first chapter of Jonah is Jonah was disobedient. He was never supposed to be on this boat in the first place. He didn't want to go teach to Nineveh because he knew his God was gracious and compassionate. So there's a little bit of self-righteousness there. That's why we chose this passage, because we want to talk a little bit about self-righteousness here. But one thing I always love about God is that when we choose our own path, when we do our own thing, God is still good to bring good from it. And so I love just at verse 16, it says, this is talking about the sailors on the boat. It says, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now, we don't know if they gave up their pagan God worship, but I just think it's so special that God allowed this moment for them to even encounter him as the Lord and Savior, to see that he is the one who controls the seas, the waters, and the waves. And Jonah wasn't even supposed to be there. And so I think that sticks out to know, like, even if we make mistakes, even if we go down what we perceive is the wrong path, or we know it's the wrong path because maybe God has given us different instructions, it's nice to know that God can bring beautiful things even out of that as well. So I've did a lot of talking for Jonah 1. I'm going to let Britt, do you have anything you want to share just as I was speaking, or anything that's on your heart regarding Jonah?
Yeah, I mean, I think what what is relatable about Jonah is that oftentimes when God gives us a hard task to do and we don't want to do it, we kind of have a flight or fight response. Like, we're going to fight God on the decision he wants us to make, or we're going to try to flee. And Jonah chose the flee option. And I feel like I can relate to a flee Jonah. Actually, I can relate to a fight Jonah too. But like, I feel like Jonah's first response was to flee in this instance. And later in Jonah, he is going to kind of fight God in his instructions of obedience for Jonah to go to Nineveh. But I think that even though Jonah tried to flee what God had called him to, God still chased after Jonah. He wasn't like, you know what, Jonah flaky, I'm moving on to somebody else. But God decided to still pursue Jonah and pursue him walking in the purpose and plan that he had for him. And so I have learned as I've gotten older and grown in the faith that Jonah being swallowed by the fish was the kindness of God and not just like a punishment of God. It was God's kindness to be like, okay, you need a minute to process these instructions. And I've heard, different theologians and pastors preach on this, on this actual book. And they talk about how one of the reasons that maybe Jonah didn't want to go is because his family had been harmed or had been oppressed by these people. And so, these are like his enemies in a sense. And so it wasn't just like Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because it was something he didn't want to do. It was because he really had a heart pressure towards these people that like they didn't deserve to be saved by God. And why would God send him to people that he didn't even really care for like that? Right. And so I appreciate the kindness of the Lord to say, you can't run away from this, Jonah. I'm still going to pursue this for you, this purpose and plan for you. So I'm going to send this fish. I'm going to send this storm so that you have time to really come to me and come to me with your concerns. And I feel Jonah too is really Jonah crying out to God about his feelings, and also crying out to God about how he has met him, even in his despair, even in the middle of the waters, right? On a ship. And so I just love the kindness of God that really pursues us.
Yeah, Britt, I love that you said that maybe it was like an enemy. I'm like reading from my NIV study Bible, and here it talks about too that Nineveh was considered a great menace to Israel and the representative of the Gentiles, which is us. Anyone who's not a Jew is considered a Gentile. And the book depicts God's great love and concern for the whole of creation. And so I think that is very beautiful because it shows like he cares, even if you go to, mm-hmm. let me go to the very end. So eventually Jonah ends up going to preach to these people and God shows great compassion towards them. And Jonah is upset. He's so mad about it. And he's like so upset to the point where he's like, I'm ready to die. And so like, I feel like the biblical imagination that you just gave us of potentially like there was oppression that happened from either side adds a little bit of more context to that. Because like saying you want to die because God shows kindness to someone seems over the top, right? But then God does another instance of provision. And so he asks Jonah, do you have any right to be angry? This is verse 4 in chapter 4. And says, going down to verse 5, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God mm-hmm. provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God mm-hmm. said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. Mm. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? I mean, there's still a lot I need to know, but even as I'm sitting here, I can't help but to think about Gaza. Mm. I know that is a very political stance to even take, but I think some Christians are on the side of thinking that God is pleased, completely pleased with Israel because Israel is biblically known as God's chosen people. But I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I think, you know, Israel has a right to defend themselves, but I'm like, God cares about everybody. Mm. And so that was what came to mind as I was like reading this earlier. Because I think we can easily say like Israel versus everybody, but it's like literally Jesus came and died for everyone. And I think it's his desire that everyone get to experience his compassion. And so, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about things I don't know about now, but I will say that I don't think it's completely the correct Christian stance to say Israel can do whatever they want.
Mm. Yeah, what I love about that passage that you read when Jesus, I mean, yeah, basically the word of God is Jesus. When God was talking to Jonah and he was saying, you know, this is a plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. I think about how, you know, we often question why God allows certain things or why God, you know, hasn't condemned certain people or he hasn't responded to a certain way to things that we see in our communities and our families and our nation that we in globally that's wrong. And we forget that everything that is alive on this earth came out of creation. It came from the hands of God. Like God created people. He created animals. He created things. And so everything mm-hmm. matters to God. And so it's easy in our human mind because we didn't create nothing, right? We just showed up and there was air and there was grass and there was trees. And so it's easy in our minds to look at people and things and think, you know, that's disposable or that's not important. That's not valid. But yeah, to God, everything is important. Everything is valid. And I love that we don't know Jonah's response to God when he says that, because I don't think we need to know. I think it's something for us to sit back and reflect on. Feelings of entitlement that we have to tell God how he should respond and react. I mean, that's the whole benefit of the gospel, is that we are getting something we don't deserve. We're getting free salvation when we deserve eternal damnation, you know? And so this is just a glimpse into the kindness and the long suffering and the patience of God, that he wants to see everyone come to repentance, no matter their background or their nationality. He wants all of them to come to the knowledge of him. And so he's willing to be long suffering, and he's willing to send enemies to one another if it means that the gospel gets spread. He's willing to use unlikely people in unlikely places in order to see the kingdom advanced. And so I just love that about God and about this conversation that Jonah and God have in Jonah 4.
And I feel like Jonah must have known that, like, they were going to turn around and, like, fix whatever needed to be fixed and reconcile with the Lord, because otherwise he wouldn't have fled. He would have immediately gone and, like, I know y'all are not about to act right anyway, so it's fine. But he had an inkling that they were going to make the changes. And we see that just kind of going back in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, this is Nineveh, he had a compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? Think about all the times you deserved to have something mm-hmm. negative happen, and God showed his grace. And, like, I'm just, that's like a beautiful representation of God's compassion. And Jonah even says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. It's great. This is like reads like a play.
Right.
But I love how he's mad about the positive attributes of God. And I'm like, man, I think we can even see in the division in our country and our faith right now that there would probably be a lot of Christians on either side of the aisle who would be upset if God showed compassion to the other side. And I mean, I'm just going to say it flat out, no matter where you land on the spectrum of Republican, Democrat, in the middle, all the different things, like, God is not red, he's not blue, he's not confined in those boxes. He cares equally about everybody on either side of those of the lines, or even if you're somewhere in the middle. And so I think, what if we reshaped, I think a pastor said something very helpful on Sunday. It's like, we're all talking to be understood. And it's like, what if we try to understand the other person and have compassion? And I think something I really struggled with prior to going to divinity school was that self-righteousness. I came in feeling like, I got it my way. I know the moral code. Okay. I've got it pretty tight here. And that is something God had to break in me. And I think maybe some of my stances on things didn't change, but my level of compassion, the way I talk about certain issues, completely different. I remember as we were going through div school, we had a friend group that was pretty different when it came to party affiliations, and having some conversations with some of those friends and trying to understand why they were voting the way they were voting. It changed my whole perspective, because I think a lot of times people who vote on one way or the other are single issue voters. There's one topic they care a lot about, and then they vote on that topic. And so it was good to hear different views and to come to that conversation not ready to automatically write someone off. There's people now, and I think there's been studies that have shown that people are willing to completely cut ties with people over how they vote. And I'm like, is that, don't get me wrong, I am upset with a lot of the things that are happening in our political sphere. Okay. Yeah. Upset. Mm-hmm. I think it's atrocious. It's a hot mess. It's not a good representation of the Lord's love, but I also think that, I mean, I was surprised in myself to see that I had friends who voted differently than me in this election, and to hear their reasonings and to know that they weren't automatically a bad friend or a bad person because we voted differently. Like, we are so much more than who we vote for.
Right.
And so I'm going on a tangent, but I just feel like this is on my heart right now, especially with this.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, well, I was having a conversation with you before and saying that those of us who have been in the church for a while, especially those of us who have grown up in the church, it is very easy for us to walk in self-righteousness. It's really easy to think that we are better than other people, or think we have a right to call people out or to set the standard for how, you know, everything should be based on our own personal beliefs and convictions, and not necessarily according to the word of God. And it's something that we constantly have to check, because we can forget, we can have a memory problem and forget that really what's holding us together is the grace of God. And without the grace of God, we would be a hot mess. We would be the chaos and the mess that we often try to say we see in the world. And social media right now is a place. Okay. And you have to use these platforms. You have to use social media in such a way that you're acting in wisdom and discernment, that you got to be like how James says, you have to be slow to speak, quick to listen, because everyone is providing their own perspective. And the way the algorithm works is that, you know, whatever perspective you think is right, the algorithm is only going to feed more into it. And it's only going to tell you that side. It's not going to tell you the full story. It's not going to give you the full picture. And so we have to be careful. You know, I think I've seen a lot of believers who feel like they have to respond to everything that is happening publicly in our culture right away. And we don't. We are not entitled to be quick to say something. We may feel an obligation to have a response, and that may be true, but we can take time to really ask the Lord to seek counsel, to get wisdom before we speak, before we engage. And our first response can be compassion. And so I worry about how we as a church respond to things in our culture. But I think this environment in our country is really good practice for us. So when we respond the wrong way, we have an opportunity to check our hearts and say, okay, God, help me. Why did I have that reaction? And we have an opportunity to be convicted by God's word. And when we do see things that we want to address and we want to speak on, asking the Lord, okay, how should I go about this? How should I do this with grace and with love? Like, if Jesus was here right now, how would he respond? You know? And I remember when we were growing up, we used to have those bracelets that said WWJD. And, you know, we don't have those bracelets like that anymore. But I'm like, we need to get back to wearing them bracelets as the church body, because we need to be constantly reminded, what would Jesus do in the situation? How would Jesus respond? Not how my political affiliation would respond, not how my race would respond, not how my feelings would respond, but how would Jesus respond? And so I think that, and I will say, if you're not in the word, then you may not know how Jesus would respond. Because there's a lot of people out saying that Jesus would do X, Y, and Z, and they don't know their Bible. Okay? They don't know their word. And it's like, no, that's not Jesus. That's not him.
Yeah.
And so I think we just have to be careful as believers. And Jesus was honest about how we judge one another. Paul was honest about how we judge one another in the church and outside the church. And he talked about, you know, seeing the speck in our brother's eye when we have a plank in our own eye. We got to be careful. Yeah. We have to be careful with how we do that. And that's why God built the body of Christ in community, so that we can have those hard conversations within the context of community.
Yeah. Just want to reiterate the importance of reading scripture, because it's very countercultural to many of the things that are happening all around us. And going to church and listening to a sermon is just not enough. Because a lot of times what is happening on a Sunday, I mean, don't get me wrong, there is value in going to church on Sunday, and I think you should be a part of a body. But on a Sunday, oftentimes, and most services that I've been to, you're going to get like, maybe if you're lucky, if you get a whole chapter, that's spectacular. But most of the time, it's very much like, these are my 3 points. Here's 2 to 3 verses that support the points I want to make. That is not enough for you to actually know the heart and character of God, and to know what is happening in the Bible itself. And so it's just so important that if we're going to say, what would Jesus do, to your point, to actually spend time getting to know exactly what he did for ourselves. So thanks for that reminder, Britt. And it's really good.
And what I have seen in my own life when I seek the Lord about how I need to respond, I don't always have a clear answer about what to do or how to respond about certain things happening in our world. But it does lead me to prayer. Like, I just, because I don't know what to do, I just, I'm like, Lord, help us. Help us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. And so it's okay to not have an answer. It's okay for, you know, you not to know how to respond or what to say, or know the right next step to make. It's okay. Like, you don't feel pressured to, you know, pick a side, because the world wants you to do that. And it's like, okay, well, if you're this, then that means you're doing this. And it's like, no, that's not what it means. Like, the only thing I need to be associated to and ascribed to is the body of Christ in as a Christian. So that is the way that I'm going to go. And the world wants to simplify who we are into our political affiliation and our race and things like that. And God has made us way more diverse in that. And thank you so much for bringing this up. Sorry. I loved how you talked about how when we were starting out in our community and realizing, oh, we have differing views, and how we had to wrestle through that. And that was hard. We had some tough conversations in that. And I didn't think we were going to make it, honestly. I was like, well.
Let's just set the scene. This was in 2020.
It was. We were poolside.
A lot of poolside having this conversation. We were a mixed group of friends racially. And this was during the times of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. All these different things had been happening. Breonna Taylor. It was a lot. Black Lives Matter was a big, big thing happening. COVID. We had an election coming up. So that was a hot topic in our friend group. And we did not all see the same. We did not all see it the same way. And so, you're right. We didn't know we were going to make it, but we made it. Out of that time, we did.
And I will tell you, like, just to kind of describe the personalities, we had intellectuals, we had feelers. I'm a feeler. We had those that were coming with, you mentioned, like, hot issues that, like, really mean deeply to them, coming up in conversation. They may not agree with the whole, you know, platform of maybe a political affiliation, but because they, you know, are fighting for one particular topic, they're like, no, I need to ascribe to that. And so working through that and not brushing it aside or just writing people off, I mean, that was hard. And I think that's the church. Like, that's when Jesus says that they should know us by our love. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about a bunch of people that agree and everything, you know, their personalities gel perfectly together. No, he's talking about friends sitting poolside with different political feelings, views, opinions, and still leaving the conversation and saying, I hear you, I don't agree with you, but I love you.
But I want to, like, add to that, like, in that conversation with those friends, I feel like I heard points that I felt challenged on, and I feel like these are good things that you're sharing. And so I think, too, it's like, we think one party may have all of the things or the more important things, but it's like, we both need things from each other. especially right. if we're talking That's about faith related things. Like, there's good things on both sides. And what Satan would like to do is just tear people apart, keep them divided, because we're stronger when we're together and unified
Amen.
On a topic.
Amen.
Or and unified Amen. Doesn't mean necessarily we all see it the same way. But if we're mm-hmm. willing to have those hard conversations, then I can see why X, Y, and Z topic is important, because now I'm more knowledgeable. I mean, I experienced this. I had a student that I worked with that had completely different political views than my own. And man, was she educating me in my office. We would spend time in our one-on-ones talking about wars and different tactics. And I'm like, I mean, I don't even think about all this. Like, she was like, so if this party wins, this is how they're going to handle it. And I think it's better because of this. And I'm like, imagine if my heart was so hardened to even have that conversation. Wow. I could even see wow. from that her perspective why she thought that was a better option. And I wouldn't have if I didn't take the time to be slow to speak and quick to listen to hear her perspective.
Okay. And you really can't get that from social media. So, yeah.
You can't. And I think that opened the door for her to hear my perspective on things, because I was willing to listen. She was willing to hear me out. And I feel like that, created space for safety, vulnerability. I think another thing that gets taken off the table is vulnerability when we're automatically assuming the worst of the other side.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And when you get vulnerable, that's when you start to care about people. But if you don't have to be vulnerable, you don't have to care about someone.
That's it.
Yeah, if you don't have to be vulnerable, you don't have to care. That's something Britt's been calling me out in this friendship for a long time. She was like, I don't feel like at the poolside, that was that same conversation that Britt's like, girl, I don't know you.
Just putting it all on the table.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, you don't. I'm being me. What do you mean you don't know me? He's like, yeah, I don't know you for real.
Yeah. Deep connection requires vulnerability. It requires you putting yourself out there and trusting that these people are going to love me even when I show what's really on the inside of me, you know?
Yeah. You may be listening and be like, I don't agree with what y'all are saying either, or y'all are not taking a hard enough stance on X, Y, and Z. And mm-hmm. some of that may be like, hey, educate us on some things. You heard me just say, I will sit and listen in a respectful way. If you want to educate me on a topic, feel free to leave a comment, send us a DM. But we're all trying to learn. We're all trying to get better. And I think that is the step to breaking down self-righteousness, recognizing you don't have all the information, all the pieces to say that your morals are superior to others. And that's how you kind of begin to break down that wall and to recognize that humility is good. It's a good to be in a space to listen Amen. And hear other perspectives.
Amen. I love that.
Well, friend, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up in prayer?
I would just say that what I love about the story of Jonah is that Jonah knew the character of God, which is why he kind of sarcastically was like, God, I know you're compassionate and you are slow to anger, you know? And we have an unchanging God that loves and cares deeply about us and cares deeply about our world. And if we want to be not just successful, but if we want to truly live the abundant life that Jesus has promised us in this life, then we have to take on the character of our Savior and walk with that same level of compassion and grace and patience with one another. And I'm just saying for the church, we're not even getting to the world. I'm talking about in the church, you know? And so, is it difficult? Yes, but that's why we have the power of the Holy Spirit that's helping us to become loving and compassionate. And if we're wondering, what are the things that I need to be passionate about? What are the things that God deeply cares about? Read his word. Don't look to the world to find out what should be the hot topic and what should be the most important thing. Like, Jesus outlines the things that are important in the kingdom of God. And so know that the answers to how we approach things in our world truly is found in his word, and we can trust it. We can trust that his word was true then, is still true today. And so let us be believers that are truly grounded in the word of God and grounded in who God has called us to be as believers.
Amen. And with that, I would love to close us out in prayer.
Okay.
God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we thank you. God, we thank you for the examples in scripture of people who are just like us, who think they know what's best, who flee from you, flee from your instruction. God, we thank you for turning those detours even into blessings and providing a way out. Just as you provided for Jonah that fish, just as you use that moment of disobedience to bring the sailors into knowledge of who you are, God, you are doing that even in our steps and missteps that we take, Lord. And God, we just pray over our nation, over this world. We pray against division. We pray against hate. We pray for your church to be unified, God, that it wouldn't be about different race, different party lines, different, all the things that would bring about division in your church that grieves your heart and your, God, we just pray that you allow us to be able to have challenging conversations with people who think differently than us and to come in not ready to convince them to see things our way. But we would come in ready to just listen and to recognize that the person who's sitting on the other side is not our enemy, as Satan would have us to believe. They're our brother and sister in Christ. They're another human. They're someone that you care about deeply and that deserves our compassion. And God, I pray that just as you are compassionate and slow to anger, God, I pray that we would also be that same amount of gracious and passionate and compassionate and abounding in love, just as you are, Lord, because we are your children, which means we get to carry out those same characteristics. We get to have those same characteristics as you, Lord. We get to demonstrate those same characteristics as you, Lord. So God, I pray for each and every person listening right now. I pray that you would soften their hearts and help them to break down any self-righteousness that they may have. Would you show us areas that we struggle with self-righteousness and give us the ability to lay those things at your feet. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.